Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Joining me today is Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
And Pope, a special guest here in the office.
Yeah.
You are our first person here live. Thank you so much for coming today.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm surprised they let me in through security. We tried.
We were too. No, I'm just
kidding. This I gotta say, this office is amazing. You've got so much stuff. Like, if you're a video game nerd, you know, just visiting this office is really, really cool.
Yeah, thanks.
We're jaded. We can't tell anymore.
Why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm Pope Bear. I'm one of the co-hosts of the Destiny Community podcast. And before that, I was co-founder of the Dads of Destiny podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm mainly just a huge Destiny nerd, to be honest with you. I play Destiny way too much, like all of us, and am at a kid in a candy shop right now because we've got so many packages to open. You know, we've got the beta, and man, is it exciting right now.
That's a good segue into what we're talking about on the show today. So we have Pope here to talk all about the Destiny 2 beta. We're going to talk about the new campaign additions. We're going to talk about the strike and some of the Easter eggs people are finding in the game. And we're also going to talk about PvP. That is going to be a hot topic of discussion. So right away, I'll throw it to our guests first. What did you think of the new campaign add-ons?
Well, for me, it's impressive that they brought us still something surprising, and I think it bodes well for the game as a whole that they're holding stuff back, because for those of us who went and did the Destiny reveal event, it was still new content and it was still new story, and it still caught me off guard when something new came in and a new cutscene. So I'm already happy.
Yeah, it was just a little setup for the show today. I'm running around between meetings and I'm like, well, I know the beta is basically what we got at E3. That's what they told us. And then Destin and Pope were there at his desk and we have like 20 minutes to the show. And they're like, you should probably go play that. Yeah. Then I'm like, wait, what's the big deal? It's like, well, you started in your ship. And then I was like, wait, what? Don't tell me. And so, you know, I don't know if we want to get too far. Well, we probably will talk about it, but I was very surprised what they added at the front and the end. Honestly, for me, they told us, they're like, oh, this is just a vertical slice. It's not the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. But then suddenly when they piece together these missing parts, I'm like, oh, it is the beginning of the game. Just we missed the very first part of it.
Yeah.
Probably. That's what I'm getting. I was thinking for a while it might be the second mission. Do you guys think this is the first mission?
I think that's the opening. Like, you're away. You're on a mission. Maybe you did something at the beginning. I don't know. There's separation there.
Probably a little something, but
An event that took place. Yeah. A reason why you're going away from the tower.
Like, yeah, however they trigger the cutscene in the tower, maybe there's something that's happening before that.
I feel like us flying in with our ghost and having that moment of anxiety where you're not getting any response from the tower, and you're frantically coming in and you land to a tower that's been destroyed. It's great. I mean, some of the elements of it right off the bat that when you spawn in, surprised me. Mm-hmm. First of all, you get hurt when you're standing in fire.
Yeah.
And I know that's kind of a small detail, but it adds to the realism of the moment. And it felt like I was walking in to a very dangerous situation, you know, where you're walking through the tower and it's very obvious that something bad has happened.
Yeah, it was way more precarious, obviously. And I totally agree with you, by the way. Like, it's we've been talking about this a lot with the story. Like, they're trying to reset everything up, and you flying in, and you're trying to communicate your friends who you probably just saw that cutscene as they set it up. But you're like, oh God, I can't contact. What is going on? And then you really see it. Even if you don't know what the tower's all about, you know you arrived home, and you're like, great. Mm-hmm. So this is happening. I mean, what did you think, Destin?
So we know that we have that Zavala cutscene, which introduces the story, kind of sets up what the game is about how you have this light and how this ghost revives you and how you learn from your years of combat. Yeah, and we saw that at the Destiny reveal event. We haven't really seen it since, separated out.
Good point. Where's that fit?
Yeah. So I think we're going to open with that, and then he'll send us on a mission or something. That's why we're away, and then we get here. So, like, I think there is going to be a little bit more context for new players, because you still have the character creator. Like, do you just do that and then you start with blowing up the tower? Yeah. They don't know what's going on. Like, a new player wouldn't really know what's going on.
But it's a nice setup. It could also come after, too, right? After Gary kicks the crap out of you and you go into that dream world of, like, we fight, we die, we live again.
Yeah.
And maybe then that sets up whatever's next. Who knows?
I really liked this edition. Like, we saw it in the trailer earlier, but the Gaul portion, where we actually got to see him be very menacing, almost. He seems like a lot like Bane.
Yeah, I totally was gonna say, yeah.
Like, almost the lines are similar to like what he says to Batman.
Like, he's smart.
Yeah, I was born in the dark.
he has got a chip on his shoulder, and he's pissed. He's pissed, and he wants us to know how insignificant. He wants us to think that we're insignificant, right? Mm-hmm.
He's plans above it, don't you think? Like, he doesn't even, in other words, don't you think he thinks very little of us? It's not even a plot. He's like, you're scum. I'm a cultist leader, whatever. I mean, he doesn't, you know what I mean?
Like, he runs
that
a cult
kind of setup? Basically.
The Red Legion.
Like, no, but they've talked about it that way, right?
Yeah. It seems very, well, that the Cabal as a race, as a whole, are very single-minded focused. There's no, you know, there's no retreat. There's just, you know, advance. Right? You can imagine, so by their own rules, the Red Legion attacking Earth has been kicked out of the Cabal, right? Mm-hmm. Without success here, he has pitted his whole reputation, right? Everything about him as a character, as a Cabal leader is pitted on this attack being successful.
Well, he brought the crew that he needs to, like, make it a success.
Yeah, seems that way.
We've seen the farm public space, and we know that, like, we are not going to – it's not going to end well for us after this sequence. We're going to be on a farm, rebuilding ships, rebuilding robots, building up our arsenal again, and we're going to have to go get help. It said that in the press reveals. So, he is a serious threat.
Speaking of robots, though, like, you see – when I saw the Crucible robots, the what are they called? Jax. The Red Jacks or
– Yeah, I don't know the official name, but
All right. So,
Jax is a little legion there.
Yeah. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when we were playing Halo 3. There was the grunts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The kind of like nameless grunts that were always sort of cannon fodder in a way that were involved in missions.
Oh, yeah.
When I saw them and how they keep being shown in these cutscenes in different places, I think they're going to be in our story mission attacks. They're going to be joining us in those fights, shooting with us, and then, you know, being some cannon fodder. And
I think you're right. Yeah. Like, it was a great device. You walk around the corner and, like, one of the Cabal, like, reaches around the corner, like, grabs the guy, and you're like, oh, crap. Mm-hmm. Like, now I got to face the guy. I think you're right. They're going to use them for that. They're going to get – they're totally grunts. It's a good way to put it.
They're robots that can be murdered.
they'll get fixed later.
Yeah, murdered. Right. But, like, it keeps their T rating.
Keeps their T rating.
They, like, rip the head off. It's like, oh, it's a robot.
Yeah. But going back to Gary, it was nice – or Gaul. Sorry.
Yeah.
Gary. Yeah, we're going to
– don't show him the respect.
Sometimes we call him Gary.
No.
That's
give
right.
Him respect.
Larry. but I really like that moment where you know you're in trouble and he's walking out to you and he just the magic. That's where it gets interesting, yeah. Right? Is he just strips the light from you, mm-hmm. and you fall to your knees, and it's like, wait, how's that work?
And your ghost plops to the ground, your character grabs it at the last.
Yeah, he's like, I need it. It's like how I was probably resurrected as mm-hmm. well. And so he's like,
right. Well, and also you've built a relationship with your ghost, with Nolan, your Nolan bot. Yeah. That you carry around with you, and then you drop it.
It's a dramatic moment.
It is, yeah. It was kind of, for me, it's kind of like, oh my God, I've been with that thing.
And that's a new, that's a new part of the cutscene. That's a new part
that's
of
all
the
mission. Yeah,
we hadn't, I think we may have seen
pieces of it, but we didn't see that part
not
where he,
in a cohesive story.
Well, yeah, remember in the, because people didn't play this, at the end of our experience and the demos, we go through that one hallway and it's dark and he's like, whatever he said, like Gary's back there and it's just in shadows. You can't even see him. Yeah. Then we saw that reveal trailer later with him and he kicks you off the tower and everything. But we never saw him stripping the light and that those pieces that put it all together.
Yeah.
So that device that's on the Traveler is somehow connected to Gaul, right?
Yeah, it seems.
So that technology.
He seems like he can activate it.
Is it directly connected? I don't know. Like, does he go somewhere to like channel the light?
Well, what I'm thinking is that he has some sort of connection to that technology. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But as soon as it attached, he took your light from you. Mm-hmm. He went.
Yeah. Oh, did you see it attaching in the
background? Well, like it showed it activating and the shield going around it.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
In that cutscene, yeah.
And then he's able to control.
And then he looks at you and he goes,
right.
And then your light gets taken from you.
I think they're trying to connect they're making sure you understand he's getting his light from that thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, very, very good point.
So it seems like take the thing off and we're all good again, right?
Yeah.
The light from the Traveler, obviously, not the thing. Sorry.
No, the thing that's attached to the Traveler. If we
I did mean that too. Then, I'm so excited. Just
it reminds me of the thing from Predator.
Oh, totally. It's also like an alien, the face grabber,
the
alien or whatever. Yeah, the face hugger, exactly. Yeah. It's totally a face hugger.
Definitely. All right. So the second event and Easter eggs was the topic we wanted to discuss. So we're gonna, what's the name of the strike again?
Inverted Spire.
Spire, that's right. So Inverted Spire, people are already finding that you can get a pike and start riding around, and they are finding little hints. They found a Lost Sectors logo. No one's figured out how to get in yet.
The Inverted Spire. So I haven't got to play this other than at E3 in the Dre event, as they call it, the Destiny Real event.
Yeah, so like the Fallen and the Cabal are like fighting at the very beginning there, and every once in a while dregs come in. You can ride them across the Milky Water, and people found the logo of that. And also in the story mission, someone did find the purple ball all squished and stomped on. That, I thought that was pretty funny.
Man. Nice touch.
Made me very sad.
Are we going to find the Cryptarch's remains? Somewhere.
Yeah, I hope so.
One of those lost sectors, we'll have to disturb some new remains.
So the Inverted Spire strike was mostly the same. I like that they added this big battle at the opening portion. What do you guys think going back to it?
Tell me about what happened, actually, and maybe those listen. I don't know, because I didn't get to play this version. All I got to do was campaign.
So Inverted Spire is mostly the same. They added a few subtle things.
Like, yeah, I think the way that what I felt was the most – what I felt was different was that the characters or the enemies seemed to spawn in differently. Mm-hmm. There were some that were the same, but it seemed like some of the areas, maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed like the enemy was more coordinated, if you will. Like, I feel like I was more in danger.
The AI was maybe smarter?
Yeah, well,
like, they scripted, or
they were programmed to come in and be more aggressive, maybe.
Like, yeah, maybe the AI's been tweaked or upgraded. Yeah.
I got to play it a few times at the DRE, and it felt like this one, maybe I was more comfortable, or I was at home in my, in my office playing, and I wasn't so distracted, and maybe I understood different elements better, but it did feel like those open spaces, those enemies were more coordinated and attacking me. Mm-hmm.
I felt like, not to get away from Inverted Spire, but was it just me, or were there more waves of enemies in Homecoming when you're standing around the bubble? Waiting.
Same
thing.
It's endless.
I don't know if it's endless.
It is.
I was just doing capture for sound bumps, and eventually it seemed like they stopped.
Well, for me, wasn't until I killed enough that I could finally go over there. Yeah. I mean,
I spent 30 minutes there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's something going on with
at the Tower Fort where Zavala's there.
So,
okay, yeah.
So
maybe
at,
that part
at the Zavala part, which is actually a little fun little mini game if you haven't tried it. It's you literally just sit there and people, other guardians will spawn in.
Yeah. That's what that happened to me.
So like at one point there was like three or four people in the tower with me and we were fighting together and
I thought that was cool.
It was a really great opportunity to learn all the elements of the supers before I went on.
Yeah.
It was my first time getting a hold of the Sentinel Titan and I just fell in love, man.
It's good, man.
I jumped up and I screamed in my chair. I was like, yes, this is the way it's supposed to be.
Oh my gosh.
It was so amazing. That Sentinel Titan, the supers feel so much fun. You throw the disc, you know, you go in there and you it feels like it has a good length of time that you can run some enemies down.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's a good length time. No air mobility though, huh? I just realized that because I didn't get
no.
When you jump up as a Sentinel Titan, there's no whoosh, 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 you can't move around. Mm. At least in the current class, I don't think.
Well, there's a dodge. So there's a you know when you're playing the Vault of Glass and you've got the
relic.
The relic. Mm-hmm. It operates similar to that in that you can
use the shield in the air.
You can dodge. Whoosh. You can dodge into
right.
the air.
But you use your melee hit to move around, right?
Right.
In
so
other words,
you're using
Gambler's
super.
Dodge and Dawn Blade has like a air move. Why are you laughing at me?
Oh, it's just I'm imagining somebody's going to gift this out like Pope's about to hit you or something.
Thanks for inviting everybody to do that.
I had some great experiences in Crucible. I feel like you're not as directional as you could be as a hunter.
Yeah.
But there is air mobility in the fact that you're using your super to dodge or to get in to somebody. But God.
It's nice. Honestly, we did a piece on sound, and I'm not just plugging that, but like the man, I already liked Destiny as sounds, and Destiny 2 has some really good and the effects, the sounds with the effects. So when it all comes together, you do feel pretty amazing as the Sentinel, right? By the way, I just started a Titan last weekend.
So first of all, I'm really excited
to play
that.
Titans finally, but now that I hopped in comfortably with a Sentinel, I was like, all right, this is pretty cool.
Well,
it's feeling good.
Destin, did you feel like the classes felt different this time around?
They feel pretty level. Each of them feel level. They definitely feel different. The jumping is a little different. The time to kill, obviously. Everything is tweaked enough where it feels fairly fresh. But there are returning things, of course, like Golden Gun. You got your Shade Step and stuff like that.
That reminds me. I never noticed in the first cutscene it was one of the cutscenes in Homecoming. Maybe it was not in the previous stuff we put, but you know when Cade is talking to them? Mm-hmm. Actually, it was in there, but he's saying, he's like, I can't, and he's like going out, my golden gun. He's telling you that his golden gun's fizzling out. Mm-hmm. So there's this prelude to like, oh, you know, we already know, but like, what's going on with my power? So it was a nice, there's lots of little touches like that.
Well, that's nice. I didn't notice
that. I didn't notice that before. He's basically saying, I'm doing pretty well, but my golden gun is going out is the implication.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Fizzling out.
Yeah. Mm. Right. It's neat. So Cade's in trouble.
Yeah. And I think that we're going to have to go help them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
These vanguards that are our mentors during Destiny 1 have, they don't know what to do without the light.
Without us.
Right. And so that's a nice change of pace.
Right.
Instead of, hey, go do that thing I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. And so we're going to go save them first and get our mojo back.
Although Akora Ray seems pretty set. You know, she just flies in and then jumps on a ship. I'm like, you probably don't need my help right now.
Well, she's AFK too. Like when we go, we call for her and she is not available.
Was that later?
She's on Io, right?
On the ship.
Yeah. Like she's
after she jumps on the ship.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you beam up to the Cabal ship or you fly up with Amanda and it changes. But I took us off the spire.
I believe Cade's Nessus, where Spire takes place, you do hear some dialogue about Cade and how he messed up and he's trapped on Nessus right now. We've seen in the trailer where he's like in limbo or something. So we are going to go save Cade. We see cutscenes with Zavala later and we see a cutscene with Akora on Io. So we are going to go to these planets to meet up with the vanguards again.
Remember that episode a long time ago before we knew what it was, that we were speculating like you would get to choose like a mission.
So subtle touch at the very beginning, depending on which subclass you pick, you get a different exotic at the very first mission.
No, you don't. Do you?
You do. Yeah. So you get, if you pick Hunter, you get
Sunshot.
Sunshot.
Oh,
and,
cool.
If you're a Titan, you get the
Sweet Business. We don't have to talk about this in a second. I would love to talk about the Sweet Business.
Yeah. You get Sweet Business.
What do you get for the Warlock?
The Warlock is the submachine gun.
That is called...
Nothing. I can't remember off the top of my head. We literally just played it. I'm trying to remember all the names. But,
Not to diverse
I haven't touched
again,
the Warlock yet.
Did you get to use Sweet Business again in this? How good is Sweet Business for PvE?
Well, it's good.
It's my play style. So it's something that I've been talking about on the podcast for the longest time is that there needs to be love given to fire suppression weapons.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be high impact, you know, just hand cannons or scout rifles. I feel like the machine gun is used for plugging up a corridor. You can just spin it up and the clip is huge on it.
Yeah.
It really is a great support gun.
It's good, but I really like the sunshot because you can start nailing those headshots and then just everybody turns into flame embers.
The popcorn effect they talked about. I haven't experienced that a lot where it makes other characters explode, but
yeah, you got to hit those crit shots.
I know what you're implying. Okay. I have not played it in the current. I'm willing to bet that I can clear a room of enemies faster with Sweet Business than you can with the other two exotics.
In PvE?
Not PvE, yes.
Oh, probably.
Not talking about PvP. I would say PvE, man.
Yeah.
Like, once you wind that thing up and it's got a big clip, and even if you got on high level enemies, like, it really takes.
Well, one of the things that I love about this is that the Titan for PvE, there is the half shield.
You know,
where you hide behind you and when you come up and you're
the peak.
Yeah, it's called a guerrilla fighter in Destiny 1 where you aim up.
Take an E, yeah.
Well, it's an automatic reload. So
really?
Yes. So
you mean the perk in Destiny 1?
No, in Destiny 2.
If when you're using crouched, his when you're, thing, it's an auto reload?
When you're crouched behind that half shield, it's an auto reload. So you can sit there with that thing and fire suppression.
Oh, my God.
You know,
so you
and then all you do is duck and come back and it's reload. Full reload.
Oh,
and
so you're just that yet.
Oh man,
it's just insane. It really is, and
that's why everybody has that in PvP.
Listen to the name, dude. It is telling you how good it is.
And you could sit there and put 500 rounds down range and never have to reload.
Yeah, it's a fun gun though, but I know it. Like we'll see. I'm telling you, it feels like one of those guns. They might be like, everybody's just using Sweet Business, but I don't know.
Well, there's an auto rifle that you're playing in the beta right now. In
the one the Hunter has?
No, the Titan has it as well.
Okay.
But it is – the sound of it just got my goosebumps going. It is a beautiful auto rifle.
Yeah. Is it a void or something like that? But well, streams.
There's a couple of them, and the one that I was using on your character just before here reminded me of the Kvostov, but not in the high fire rate, but in the shape of it.
Mm.
But it was like a auto rifles are back.
It's very they're good. Definitely PvE a competent weapon, especially because you have the elemental damage weapon and your kinetic weapon.
Yeah.
So for me, I've been taking ranged weapons in my kinetic slot because I didn't have one yet in my elemental slot.
Like a scout or like a
Like a scout or
pulse.
A pulse.
Rifles are pulse.
They're
great.
Nasty.
They're nasty.
Yeah. They're very, very good.
I was using the Sweet Business the whole time, but I used pulse thankfully a lot previously.
I got a fully auto pulse in that was pretty good, but I think the one that you're getting in the kinetic slot is really right now nice solid. In PvP.
Yeah.
In PvP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
God, yeah.
I can't wait. Yeah, like that is the one thing I'm not.
I'm running an auto rifle and a scout rifle right now.
Isn't that so cool? Like to finally just be able to say that.
Oh,
it's very fun. We didn't actually talk that much about PvP. We have one more topic that we want to get to before the end of the show, and that is the new PvP modes. Friend, Endless Veil. It's open to the public now.
Yeah.
We played it at Bungie before, and we're getting to play it now. Yeah. What do you think of this map?
It's fun. I mean, having only played it like two or three times or whatever it is, so all I can say is immediately when I played the map, it felt good. You know, they didn't show us one of the maps they were not confident with. I'll put it that way. And it feels nicely balanced. But I haven't gotten out there with a big range of players, so I don't know. I'm more curious to hear what you guys think with experience on.
You might want to clarify what you said there.
What?
You said there wasn't like some mystery map they didn't want to show us or something.
No, I was, what I was saying is it wasn't like they took a random grab. So yeah, let me clarify.
Yeah.
It's clear that to me, they know Endless Veil is a solid map.
I love that.
It's not like First Light.
For the beta, they picked
for the beta, but for us as well, right? Like we got to check that out already, but meaning when they showed it to us, it was like clear that like,
this is going to be a good map. It's perfectly sized.
No question. It's nice and symmetrical. It felt good. But how does it feel out there with the community?
Awesome.
See, I told that's what I
great.
Yeah.
I think Cooley and the team at Bungie did an amazing job. One of the things that I really appreciate about it is that it is a close quarters map. So there's tight corridors, but there's a lot of dips in and dips out and low different levels.
Yeah.
There's this beautiful close quarters flanking routes. And I know that sounds sort of silly, but it's really noticeable with the hunter and their fast dodge movements is that you can get up close, get on somebody's radar, and use those pillars to juke them. And it is a wonderful map. I was playing it with your hunter, and God, I just feel like the mobility of the hunter right now for that map is solid.
Yeah. Sounds like you get a little more of that volley, that ping pong, so to speak, meaning one, the time to kill is longer, but two, you're able to juke more, right?
And so it's the shade step.
Yeah, but it's that plus now you got pillars. So it sounds to me like you're saying you're getting some intense, like more of that, right?
Yep. Up close, you're in somebody's radar space.
Three tap, you're right? Dead.
And you're not trying to do that long flanking route. There is that in there, but you know, you will get on the radar eventually, but there is that long flanking route, but you can still get in close. The battle is in that middle section right by B, just inside between A and C. There's like a confluence of areas of
center area.
Yeah. That is just absolutely where you want to be if you want some kills.
It's great to hear.
I would say all weapon types have viable lanes on this particular map. Like if you're up on B, you can use a ranged weapon to cover off on the left and right or down the middle. And then if you're covering A or C, you can also cover into the middle there. But if somebody gets in on you from the backside of either A or C, you need to switch over to possibly an assault rifle or a hand cannon. It's so perfect for a beta because you're going to be able to experience so many different types of gameplay.
Yep.
And I'm really having a blast with it.
What did you guys think of the abilities on that map, using your abilities? I mean, I didn't play as a warlock. I played as a titan and a hunter so far. And
you're right. It's a really good hunter map. Yep. Because you can sneak your way in and around corners and whoops, the hunter's all over me. As opposed to if you're wide open as a hunter trying to dance your way to him.
We got Golden Gun too.
Oh, that is true. Yep. Golden Gun. Yep. But I feel like that it also makes it a good map, close quarters.
We were getting wrecked by Slova Bomb.
Really?
Because like it'll chase you forever and then just detonate and you're gone.
Does the hunter shade step in the beta right now get rid of the axiom bolts?
I don't know, but it does reload your weapons, which has been very
right. I believe it. I don't want to confirm. I felt like I was doing it when I was playing it before, was dodging axiom bolts like naturally.
Right.
But I will also tell you this, it takes forever to recharge, right?
Yeah.
So you don't.
Everything does.
Yeah. Like longer. Actually. So one, maybe it does it, but you know what? It's not like Destiny 1. You can't rely on it. You can't. So I want to know if you can slide under axiom bolts. That was a trick as well that you can do in Destiny 1. You quickly flip around, slide into it.
Do you guys try running through one of the Titan walls?
No.
Yeah, you get damaged.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the first thing I tried, I'm like, I need to know.
The barrier?
Yeah, it hurts.
When you enemy Titan's barrier is red in color.
Yeah.
And when you pass through it, you get slowed, like you get a damage buff on you.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came out today and I really haven't had a chance to play with it to the full extent of it, but it seems like you can drop it in a lane and if someone challenges you, you just dodge in and out of it using it to kind of bait somebody in and then use your melee.
So wait, does it cause a damage over time? Or
no,
you mean
no, it's just
they're disoriented.
Like in other words, if you run into it, and it causes a little disorder.
I believe so. I know you
got hurt. Barely,
when I did it, I would get hurt.
It's hurting you.
Yeah.
Okay. But no, that'll have an effect on screen. So yeah, like you can like almost set it up as a hurdle in some places. Like
it's a zoning. it's a great. That's what I was saying. I really appreciate how you can choose, even though it seems like the class abilities have been more streamlined.
Yeah.
It feels like they are still allowing in PvP a, you know, support class for a Titan and a attack class. Mm-hmm. And I really love that there's still that option.
Can you actually block off like a doorway a little bit then?
Yeah. With the Titan Shield? Yeah.
Wow.
You that's can. Like, that's what they were doing in PvP for our Vostok map reveal. He would wall off the whole tunnel. Wow. And it's just like,
that's awesome.
You're done.
There's a, really cool. There's a you can still go through it.
Yeah.
It'll hurt you.
But yeah, right. But it's not a lot. It's not enough that if you went in there and you had a super, so I was playing, a lot of S&D. What are we calling it in
Destiny 2? Which one?
No.
Countdown.
Sorry. Basically a search and destroy. Oh, okay. So
yeah. Countdown. Yeah. Yeah.
Countdown. I was playing a ton of that this morning and, that, you know, your Titan wall can be used in so many ways, but it's also a, you know, not impenetrable, right? Mm-hmm. And so coordinated teams can easily overtake you.
Yeah. I wonder if you could ever get it in like a hallway where they're trying to get through. Like, would it do two damages in a row if you had two Titan walls?
Oh yeah. How much would it do if you,
we get to test that.
If you have four Titans, you just put up four and have the enemy team run through them all.
That's what I was thinking about. And then what you need to do is the other team tries to run in is like the Sentinel. And
they do take damage. And I love that the visual effect on them,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they start to splinter and crack and you know visually that they're about to break.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like there was a slight tonal difference in the bubble from D1 when you knew it was going to break, but there was no visual cue.
Inversely, do Warlock heal areas, do those stack?
Yes, they do.
They do.
They stack healing and, attack.
So if Warlock 1 pops one, then Warlock 2 pops one.
Right. So you can get both buffs, you don't get like double the healing. Yeah.
Just stand there invincible, like, come at me, bro. No, that would be broken.
Do you get do you have to step into two different areas or can you stack them in the exact same spot?
You can drop them both in the same spot.
So you can do like a double defense buff, two Warlocks on someone.
Well, no, it's really... there's a defense node and an attack mode. So you
can't do double defense.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Right. Cause it's not a heal, right? It's like defense.
Well, they call it a healing buff, but it does, it improves your health regen.
Oh, your health regen. Exactly. It's regen and defense. But anyway, sorry. So it's just for attack. You can double that. Anyway.
Right. Yeah. So you stack them up. And if you have some
one for defense, one for attack. So one that heals you and one that buffs your attack.
Yep.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
And it's great for when you're plant that bomb and your two warlocks, you drop them both in that area when you start to feel that last push. Mm-hmm. And it really is the advantage.
Yeah. I was getting wrecked by a few warlock teams when CJ and I were playing this morning. I'm like, why do they keep dropping their pool? Now I know.
Their what?
Their pool.
Yeah.
It definitely makes sense.
Because once you start coordinating those efforts.
When that warlock jumps in his kiddie pool, you know.
It's like, all right, you can have that spot.
This is the stuff, though, right? Like, the beta's out here to test this stuff, to test the waters, if you will. And so, like, if you're out there playing and you're like, oh, the so-and-so is busted or this is too OP, like, that's the point of this. So share your feedback.
Right.
But go out there and play a ton. The more people that play, the more data they're going to have to see if something shows up. It's like, all right, everybody's using this now.
And Fran, you noticed something about how they're listing competitive.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, like, that was the first I'd seen of that in when you pop into the director.
Countdown's like, competitive.
But they don't even list it that way, right? It says low intensity, right? And then it just says high intensity.
Oh, it says ranked.
But meaning it doesn't say countdown and control, does it? I was playing very quickly. I didn't see it. It was like low intensity. I'm like, I wanted to play countdown. Mm-hmm. But
one says competitive and one says, you know.
Yeah. But it describes one as low intensity and high intensity. That was the first I've ever seen. That
both are pretty
telling
intense.
For Honor had this system. That was for the amount of people playing. I don't know if it had the intensity, but I think it's really interesting to try to identify the map types or sorry, the modes and of course the maps.
Do you think they're going to drop in other modes in the beta or are we just going to get?
I think this is it because they're going to collect as much data as possible. And I don't think there's going to be.
They are going to add the farm. And when they do that, they could add something else in addition.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen.
It was one of the ways that when you pointed out that the two competitive, they were sort of general terms. I was hoping that maybe we might see something additional in those two pools. That they don't have right now.
Yeah. Trials of Osiris. They turn it on for a day.
Oh man.
CJ would be so mad.
And I, yeah.
Search and destroy, feel, or
I'm down. It's okay. I keep calling the pole dancer Ark something. And I know it's Ark Strider now, but I keep forgetting.
All right. So Countdown feels super competitive. I'm really excited that do you guys think it will replace Trials of Osiris in its as the
we talked to them about that at, you know, the Destiny reveal event. And so they said that there was something to come. You know, they didn't really tip their hat beyond that. And so for me,
well, we know Trials is on the way.
Yeah, but I mean, like they make it sound honestly, right? The bet is that for the expansion for Osiris, that will have the Trials of the Nine, as we're all speculating and talking about. But there's probably something else in the Destiny 2 other than Countdown. I mean, Countdown just doesn't feel like Trials to me, but it is super competitive. Not in a bad way. It still feels very approachable, but it is competitive. It's intense at those spots that it's drawing you to.
We'll have to see. Guys, that is our 30-minute mark. Yeah. Are there any final things you want to discuss?
Oh, man. I was just going to caveat. This is just, again, the beta. We don't know that Crucible's going to lay out as you don't know what it is, low intensity, high
intensity.
I think
it's and this I could have misread it.
It's this way, to test, actually. I really do think like they're testing a lot in the time that they have. And figure, like, meaning if a ton of people are maybe choosing because low intensity sounds like, you know what, that's what I want to play. Who knows? Maybe that's part of the test, but we'll see.
All I know is I'm having a blast.
Lots of questions.
You know, it's like a kid on Christmas Day. I feel like this is going to be, a very, very busy week for us.
Definitely.
I think it's worth saying, like, it's too early to review the beta, so to speak.
Well, of course,
we'll be back. With that. But what I mean by that is I would like very fast impressions. Like me, so far of what I played before this, and, you know, I want to play a lot of Crucible. It still feels very familiar. I want to repeat that. Like, it's definitely Destiny.
Yep.
Campaign, though, was feeling really good now that they've tied together stuff for me. So that's my first, like, all right, man, if they can keep this pace, I always kept saying that before, but now that I have tied more together – if they can kind of keep that up, there was only that big wave around where I asked, like, do those guys just keep coming at you in the middle of the tower? But overall, that is something I did not experience in Destiny personally, and in not much at all, you know, that feeling of progression. So the campaign's feeling like standout. The rest feels very familiar, but good, tight, you know, so I don't know. That's where I'm at with it.
That's a really good point, friend. The fact that the narrative in the campaign, it all kind of makes sense. You are actually motivated as a character to continue the storyline. That's something we didn't necessarily get in the first game. We kind of did, but not to this level. We're like, oh, hey, Gaul, this guy has taken your light. It's time to kick his butt.
Yeah.
And I guess before we sign off, there is that conversation about how did the test of Destiny 2 launch go itself, right? Mm-hmm. So there was,
I was in.
Hundreds of thousands of people on Twitch watching today, right? Yeah. It was a lot of people. I don't know if you guys did a number count, but it was hundreds of thousands of people were watching. And it's something too important to remember that this is only one console.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Today,
point.
Tomorrow,
Xbox.
Xbox
is tomorrow.
Right? And I think that something is going to be really interesting is the big test is going to be on the 21st, I believe, when
–
it's not the pre-orders, right? When how many people sign into their PlayStation, sign into their Xbox, and choose to download Destiny?
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting day.
Yeah.
To see what happens when, you know, the client is available for everybody and maybe they're not a fan of Destiny or they've heard about it or whatever and they're going to start downloading it. I feel like that's going to be the really big test as to whether or not this beta has been successful for Bungie.
Yep. Yeah, I got a few contacting servers, nothing that interrupted me, and there was like a few little
– it held?
Bugs. Yeah, it actually held. It did say contacting, and it just came right back. It was actually when it was loading in those other players in the tower, I believe.
That's when we hit the wall, too.
And then
there's about 10 minutes at the beginning at 10 o'clock where people were getting errors.
Yeah, this was literally just, you know, about 4 p.m. our time, Pacific time. So, you know, a little bit of that. And then I was going to say I did get a bug with Akora. Like, I went and that moment she, like, smashes the Cabal.
Yeah.
I showed up and was just kind of watching, and then all of a sudden they like popped in as if she threw the Nova. I never saw it. But like, whatever. This is totally normal for a beta, but meaning, you know, they got to hash out some of this, including the servers, like you're saying. Sure. So it'll be really interesting to see if there's a queue. People were kind of asking about that. They're like, is there going to be a queue again?
CJ was literally playing right next to me. I had not a single problem. But then I watched he hit a black screen at one point. Oh, but that was his only problem. Everything else was pretty smooth.
I got in right away and was immediately playing. And just – I saw some people were having issues online. But it seemed like a big step up from what happened or how we saw in Destiny 1. I feel like there was a lot fewer people complaining online about not being able to get in. It's just really cool to see the game maturing, you know, the back end maturing, the network maturing. Mm-hmm. And it makes me hopeful that the D2 launch will be smooth and there won't be a bunch of people, you know.
You just jinxed it. It's not blame. Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry. You can blame me.
But you're right. Friday is the big test. This is, you know, there's also the reason for early access. It's not just to incentivize pre-orders. They don't want too many people hopping on yet.
They're doing Friday's a stepped release so that their teams at Bungie can figure out how to handle that server load.
It'll be a very busy weekend for them, though. So
I think they did it. But, you know, if I was to grade them today, they hit all the high marks. They kept me engaged. I knew I was coming here to be on the to be on your show, but I was like playing until the last possible
second, of course.
And so they got me engaged. They got me surprised by the story, and I had very few technical difficulties.
Yeah, me too.
So right there, I'm not finding anybody in PvP right now that's super laggy. Mm-hmm. Occasionally,
none of that. Yeah, that's a good point.
Right. So it feels like they're getting really high marks right now for this beta.
Day one. We'll see Xbox and so on.
Soon.
As it hits.
Yeah, the 21st.
So thank you so much for joining us, Pope, today. Absolutely. It was really awesome to have you here. Yeah, Where can people watch your stuff?
Destiny Community Podcast. You just look for us on Twitter or find Tefty Teft or Briar Rabbit or Miss 5000 Watts or Holtzman or myself. We're all hosts of the show. And, you know, we're all over the place.
When's your show go up? Every week?
Every week on Thursdays at 6 p.m. We're live on Tefty's channel.
We're right on your tail. Fridays at 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
That's actually great. Yeah. So listen to their show on Thursdays at 6. Come back on Friday.
Right. That's what I do.
Double dose.
Actually. Awesome. I always have your podcast queued up when I'm driving. You know, I drive out of town and I listen to yours and I listen to Crucible Radio. And
Cool.
The weekend.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
All right, guys, we got to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Thank you again, Pope, so
Absolutely.
Much. Hope we'll have you back sometime soon.
Of course. I live right across the bridge, so just invite me over anytime.
Cool. All right. And with that, it's time to do the outro.
That's right.
Is everybody ready?
Yeah, we are.
All right. Well, until next time, Guardians out.
'Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.